Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned with you. Kind of cutting-edge parenting in real time. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, laughter, and experience. Use the other 23 hours a day to do life, but for this, put the ears on and come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down, or if you're exercising, driving, skateboarding, kitesurfing, hiking, moonwalking, needlepointing, scrapbooking, gardening, planting succulents, refereeing, food shopping, coaching, or anything like that, take a break. If you could like to subscribe or leave a review, we'd be forever grateful, and please follow us on the gram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're a lot of fun over there. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little March Madness chatter, and feelings about the month of March overall. Then they'll have their take on parent tweets of the week. And then, in smart articles by smart people, hold on, a triple header. The dads will discuss an article called Reality Check. Do you know what you spend on youth sports? Like, really know? Today, we'll take a look at the snapshot of the mega business of youth sports and think about how we're feeding the beast. That one's by Melissa Jacobs from her Substack called Changing the Game. And then we're also going to tie in an article from the Washington Post. And we'll take a check-in on the state of play from the Aspen Institute. And finally, the guys will wrap up with a little March Madness quiz, couple this or that's around sports things and also things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, we're joined on this chilly California night by my friend that was on the inside doing some drawings. What's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Lola, how are you tonight?
Good, how about you?
Good. Did you receive a new little life in your house lately?
Yes.
And what did you get?
A dog.
What's the dog's name?
Mochi.
How's Mochi doing tonight?
Amazing.
All right, perfect. Lola, what's your joke of the night? What's your dad joke told by a kid?
What did the duck detective say when he closed the case?
What did the duck detective say when he closed the case? I do not know.
I quacked the case.
I quacked the case. Fantastic. There goes the laugh track. The guys are coming around the corner any second. I'll send you back inside to do whatever you were doing. And the Dad Timeout Show is coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here come the guys around the corner. Actually, they came around the corner. We use special effects. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening.
I don't think we can clink tonight.
Are these plastic cups? Or
one, there's wine in the glass.
Some wine?
There is.
What are we drinking? What is it, a cab?
I think it's a 72 Sauvignon.
It's not a Sauvignon. I don't know much. I know it's not
72
that.
Merlot from the Albert.
I'm not drinking Merlot.
Quebecian region of Versailles.
Ooh, Quebec and Versailles?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
That's amazing. Mm.
I am truly a wine connoisseur.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what I did the other night?
What's that? Needlepoint.
A lot of things.
I put my feet on a basketball court and actually enjoyed the game.
You played?
Spectator.
You had crazy good seats.
Yeah,
you did. Court side. Wow.
I know.
I worked in the NBA for a while, and I never really thought of it, right? You're just in the moment. You're kind of doing your job. But to actually sit as a spectator with that perspective is extraordinary. I mean, the size, the speed, the agility, the language. The Warriors played the Blazers, and Damian Lillard has been on fire lately. So that was really exciting.
Wasn't enough.
You saw a great game.
Yeah, they came down. It was like a 30-point swing.
43-point swing.
There you go, 43-point swing.
I didn't watch.
For those of you counting. The irony, listeners, friends, is that I have at least two diehard watch every second of the game Warrior fans on the podcast, and I'm more of the casual. Hey,
fourth quarter.
Not fourth quarter. Like, Dad, how'd they do last night? Like, check the scoreboard. But I do like them. I've always enjoyed them. I worked for them at one point. But I'm still coming off the football rush.
I got you.
So I'm just kind of getting into basketball. But, very enjoyable. Very Forrest Gump. As usual, like, huh? What's this? What is this club? What are we doing in here? Oh, it's free sushi? Okay, let's go. That's the same voice I use, too, as I...
What are we talking about?
I roamed around town. We got a lot of good feedback on our last episode, Ben. Congrats.
Oh, because of my article?
Yes.
We're about 75 articles in. I finally got one accepted.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the ratio of how many you've pitched.
I'm one for one then.
Yeah, you're batting 1,000. Okay. But we did discuss, if you just want to listen to that one, it was about parent conflict and how to solve it positively and what type of effects it has on your kids. Tonight's a little different, but it's interesting. So my friend is Melissa Jacobs, who wrote the Substack, and that's not even how I found it. I was just Googling things, and then I was like, oh, Melissa has an article. And I read it, and then I pitched to you guys, and then I ended up, like, opening a huge can of worms with, like, 40 articles about these topics, about parents and sports and what's too much and is it fair, is it not? Anyway, so all that's coming up in our Smart Articles by Smart People. But it's good to have you guys in the house. We're a little late this evening, you know, because Ben says, tell me if you agree with this, Americans overconfirm. The irony is the one that makes the statement never confirms. So we never know if the person that made the statement is going to arrive.
I think being someplace at a specific time is kind of just how life works. And when you've got groups of people showing up at the same time, it's good to just make sure everybody's going to be there at the same time. I don't know.
Totally.
But I'll look at both sides of the coin. There was never a true so two Thursdays were on. There was never that conversation.
We're going to have to do the before we depart, put it on the calendar and agree to it thing.
Yeah, and our listeners are listening to our internal struggles right now.
Yeah.
And we're not even naming names, but I think...
We're just looking at each other.
Yeah, we're just smirking with our... I think this is actually...
This one's my fault.
This is an 84 Cabernet Sauvignon.
I thought it was an 86, but you're probably right.
From Rutherford... Right?
Big time.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Big time.
Time now for the treat of the week. Treat, treat, treat.
All right, so we got a really fun show tonight, so let's just get right into it with Parent Tweets of the Week. These are tweets from real parents. They're very funny. I read them. We discuss them. But they're the funny ones. Twitter still befuddles me.
How so?
Excuse me. I'm terribly sorry. I have water. And I don't have a cough drop on this machine here. Because some of these tweets get 7,000, 10,000, and it's the same people. But I don't know how they got there in the first place. I've been on Twitter. Now, I'm not active on Twitter. Like, I just mainly, you know, creep on Twitter, or I just read. You know, I don't really engage. Maybe they're great engagers or big personalities. I get the big personalities, and this is another outlet for your communication. But some of these people are awesome, and they should be comedy writers in Hollywood, let alone.
I think it's a shameless barrage. You know, like, I don't know much about social media marketing, but I know enough that, like, the ones that are just shameless and do it a lot, and you got to be funny, and you got to be shameless about how much you do it, and then.
And hit your crowds and be supportive and all that.
It just takes a ton of devotion.
There's reciprocation too that you do. There's like a grand back scratching that's going on to keep people's numbers. Grand back scratching. It's like, ooh. Hey, I'll retweet you. You retweet me. You like me, and I'll like it. Yours. And then your numbers start growing.
And who
then
has the time for that? Not
then
us.
The algorithm jumps in, and there's bots.
All right, we've bored 98% of our listeners to death already. So let's just dive into the tweets. Dive into it. That's from Mama Jessie C. Ben, you'll always appreciate these. Oldest child. Here are 100 pictures of me as a baby eating oatmeal. Youngest child, here are seven pictures of me as a child.
There's a discrepancy, for sure.
See, now, I will date myself. I remember a BlackBerry when my first child was born, which took horrific pictures and video.
They're all fuzzy.
They're not great.
It wasn't their thing.
There's some dandies, and I do wish I was the Ben back then and had the nice camera and took some real... I mean, we have some nice baby pictures, don't get me wrong, but, like, that level... Now, like, the latest one, it's like you're going into cinematic mode as they walk across a playground, and it's hyper-focusing on the kids' faces and blurring the back. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
You had to know what you're doing.
Did you know that... I want to tell you a funny story real quick, but did you know that the instant cameras are coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, the millennials are, like, eating them up because they're tired of the perfection photos? Digital cameras, like in
they gave those out at the Super Bowl, and they had players running around taking pictures on those 110 film instant cameras. Yeah. And then they went and developed them, and they posted them online, and they were fun, you know.
Yeah, so people are getting nostalgic immediately because of, like, I don't know. I remember the first picture I took in portrait on my phone, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is some statue at one of the missions that my kid was doing.
I'm gonna go get another new job.
Yeah, so anyway.
No comment.
Oldest child, youngest child. And we try to stay equal. I was with, we were staying with another couple. It was very funny, though. And they have this really cute dog. And they also have a teenage son. So the son went into the mom's phone and was totally, like, he has your picture totals when you do a search. And the dog had, like, three times the photos of the child. And he completely called her out. Like, I can't believe there's, like, 390 of the puppy. And so, anyway, they're great friends of ours. They're good people. All right, so this is I Hide From My Kids. Mark, you'll appreciate this one. Someone cut me off and I gave them the finger. And my 7-year-old asked what it meant. So I said, it means you can go ahead of me. So you can guess what happened at school lineup yesterday. I had it. School drop off. It's the scourge of my life.
I don't let the fingers fly because you never know who you're flying
that's just
toward.
At school,
right?
My gosh. So that's not a good arena.
Yeah.
There's obviously a little fun in this one. So we have this 4-way intersection at our school, and you have to be courteous, really, because that's how it works, 4-way stop signs. But sometimes someone doesn't get the hint, and then they start holding things up, and then you're like, then you inch out foot, and then they'll inch out 3 feet, and then you're like, anyway.
That's when you start doing the
waiting. I like watching it from my bike.
Nice. Yeah, I bet you do. Old Bicycle Billy. This one's from @CopyMama. I'm going through this right now. Once your kids become teens, you'll only know their friends' parents by waving to them from car windows.
The worst is if you run into them, like, you know, in person. Oh, gosh.
Oh, hi. Are we friends or?
Not friends.
Well, I looked at this one side. I was like, because now I'm not going to say I enjoy embarrassing them, but I'm definitely me. But I won't go out of my way to, like, honk the horn and put on, you know, Funky Cool Medina and just start doing the Cabbage Patch as I'm dropping my 7th grader off, because he'd be mortified. We are at that switch where I can see the difference. My littlest, who was just out here, will still hug me as she jumps out. I love you, Daddy. Runs out with her little backpack. The other one's like, once we hit this corner, Dad, drop me off and shut the door fast. Then he goes in full sprint down the playground.
Jeez.
But it's coming with the teens. And then my oldest is like, Chris, you have experience here.
Oh, yeah. My oldest doesn't even wait for me to stop the car. Yeah. He just jumps out, rolls on the ground. Okay, bye.
That's mine, too. I'm not even allowed to drive into the high school now.
Oh, no.
I have to drive the perimeter, and then she's like, I'll be at gate 3. You're not coming in the inside where
everybody
can see the minivan.
Yeah.
With the pineapple sticker on the winter that was so cute 7 years ago.
Dad, can you just wear a ski mask when you drive?
It's so true. And then there was a viral video of the dad that gets out in the 80s clothes. Have you seen this one? He gets out in the 80s clothes and does a complete dance and cranks his stereo.
Oh, Lord, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So that was Copy Mama. Us from at Mary Fairy Bobbery. Well, it sort of happens to me. I was a terrible mother and told my kids I hate them today. What I really said was, please pick up your towels off the bathroom floor. But apparently it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's all about tone.
Yes, all about the tone.
Don't you just move on.
Why? Yeah, but what is it with children and towels? Mine are the absolute worst. They don't even see them.
It's like they're invisible.
And I discuss it pretty much every day, and no one will fess up. I even drilled a hook into the side of my middle's bed.
You used a drill?
No, I didn't actually. I used a Phillips head screwdriver and pushed really hard.
I didn't think he used a drill.
And I'm like, this thing has one job. Yeah. It's to keep that towel in here, and it can be your towel. You can take the good one. It's got to go back and forth, though. If I see it in the hallway, if I see it on the floor, and I've gotten to the point where I won't throw towels out, but socks are no man's land anymore. They're gone.
Maybe you should confiscate the towel. Like if it's like hot lava, once the towel touches the ground, no more towels for
but
you.
But it does me no good because then you hear, Ned, I need a towel.
Yep.
And the way our house is shaped, it's a long ranch type house, and the dryer's at the one end and the bathroom's at the other. And they are too comfortable that they will not even go to the dryer when they see there's no towels in the rack. So eventually it becomes like a battle of wills. Like, and I'll watch them. We have all these like janky towels like crammed in the cupboard for like spills and stuff. They will go to the DEFCON 3 and go into the bathroom.
Like a dish rag.
Yeah.
Car wash towel.
Yeah.
It's all scratchy.
A towel from like 15 years ago I got from a hotel pool. And they'll go to that level, but they won't come down and get mine.
I'm still hung up. You called this a farmhouse, but go on.
Well, that's a barn.
That is a barn. Oh
my. Now that we have a puppy, it's kind of a working barn.
It's a rancher.
All right, two final tweets, and then we'll move on because there's a lot to talk about in the articles. Tweet number one is kind of morbid, but it's funny. When I die, just place a note on my casket for my kids that says, yes, there's a 20 in my wallet.
Oh, man.
I don't get that much anymore. I think that's more of a 90s. Kids now have green light cards. Yeah. And
they're like, Venmo me.
Yeah, Venmo me. Yeah.
Let's keep going with the green. It's good leverage. Like the tactile, like, Papa, can I have $5 to go get a drink? Like pulling it out of the wallet like Grandpa. Their eyes light up. So much more effective.
I remember, yeah. Well, so now we are in financial lesson mode in our house. So we are talking budgets. Each kid gets an allowance every 2 weeks. They have green light cards. We talk about their debits. Is it worth it? Is it not? How much are you going to have left at the month? They have to. Anyway, we could do a whole pod on that. But my dad used to visit him in the summer times. And we'd be at, let's just say, a park or a zoo or something, we'd be like, my brother and I would want something, and he'd just reach in and he'd have this big ball of bills.
He didn't even fold them?
No, didn't even fold them. And he'd cherry pick like the big ones out or the little ones, whatever, and then he'd give us and he'd just stuff the big ball of bills back in his pocket. Yeah, he wasn't a money clip guy. I think I inherited that from him because I have like the Costanza wallet. My wallet's like this fat. Yeah. All right. So finally, this is me at least. 60% of being a father is keeping the family updated on weather. All I get is smirks. There's no check-in on this one.
The Alexa every morning. She does much better than me. My kids ask Alexa every morning.
I think the California droughts turned me into that guy. Like, I would get so psyched about a change of weather or a potential rain report that could be 2 weeks out that I started jonesing for, and you know what else I'm bad is hurricanes. If there's a hurricane coming through, like, I am watching the Weather Channel. Like,
you love it.
Oh, gosh, that outer ring's hitting Delray Beach right now.
Oh, not even in Like, there's no hurricanes here. You're talking about, like,
I'm talking about national. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say poor California.
He's on Florida and in South Carolina watch.
Oh, I'm addicted to weather.
The Carolinas are under siege.
Or Buffalo, like the snow, the lake effect snow. Oh, I love
that. I wondered
that
what you did all day. Is that
weather channel? Jim, what is his name? Jim Santori?
I don't know. Muscle, I don't watch that.
The muscly weather guy?
I have an app on my phone.
Okay, let's move on.
I'm working this weekend. Shut up.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, that does it for Tweets of the Week. Thank you to Mommy Jess I See, Sweet Mamisa, Mommy Fairy, Bobbery, Copy Mama, Hi Hide for my kids, and I think we had a doubleheader from Mommy Jess MC.
A lot of moms this week.
Yeah, yeah, they're funny. Coming up next, smart articles by smart people, changing the game.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles by smart people. We've got three smart people: Melissa Jacobs, Roman Stubbs, and there's no credit on this one, but it's from a very reputable site called the AspenProjectPlay.org. we talked about this a little at the top, and it's what do you really spend on sports these days? Now, the Washington Post article takes it to the next step and says, is it fair that there are haves and have-nots when it comes to youth sports? Like, but that's the next phase of this discussion. And then the final one, I can just give us a couple facts that have are real that are happening in this year in the state of play, they call it. So I guess we could begin, because there are definitely many sides to this conversation, this argument. There's no tips on this one. So it's usually like we debate a tip. Do you do that? Do you not do that? But I think that I would fairly say that Ben's not really in that world yet. Perhaps you were in your past as you played all the way to D1 football. Chris is definitely in this world in a sport. Mark teeters on it. But I don't believe any of your kids play travel ball or anything like that. Do they?
They've played club.
Club.
Yeah, they've.
Okay.
We've been in and out of it, but I've got opinions on why not club.
Yeah. Well, and then mine. Listen, everybody's got their own way of doing things, but ours was always like just listen to the kids and then weigh that against life and then see how it's all going. And if they're really passionate, then it's worth it. And if they're not, maybe not, and all that stuff. So I'm kind of like on the fence and I just kind of listen. But our kids are into theater. So that's sort of this in a different form, because there's definitely pay to play ish type of theaters and classes and all sorts of things to get more exposure, to get more reps, all that kind of stuff. But Melissa's article, she really gets into more of the price. Like, do you really, have you ever tallied up how much you spend? And over the lifetime of that child, that sport, that thing. And then she throws out some real numbers of about the cost of sports. She does AAU basketball from Texas, averages almost $1,700 a year. Recreational hockey, which is probably the most expensive sport, $1,560 a year. That's Buffalo, Minnesota. Club volleyball, Dallas, Texas. Overall cost for 15-year-olds for a full year, $6,595. And then oddly, from our area, club soccer, Castro Valley, comes in over $2,000. Overall cost, $8,000 or $9,000 to $10,000 for a full year.
And that's just to play, and or is that not travel costs?
Yeah, this is really she does break it down into different graphs. Like club is obviously you're playing in tournaments and you're paying for hotels and all that stuff. Club soccer in Castro Valley is just coaching fees, uniforms, team fees, club reg, volunteer, and uniforms. So let's go to my friend on the left,
ooh, hey,
who has two lovely young ladies that have played golf their entire, they've done many things, but golf is their primary.
Golf is primary. Yeah.
So tell us your impetus, how you got into it, you know, in brevity as much as you want. And then where are you now? How does it stand? How do you feel? After, and especially after reading this article?
Yeah, I mean, we started out just because our family was really big on into golf. Like my parents all played, all of our families, uncles and aunts all play. I didn't really like it much until I, you know, was an adult and had kids, and then I got the bug, and that's sort of how I started bringing the girls to the driving range, just so I can get, you know, a pass from the wife to go out to the golf course. And they started playing and started to get really into it, and then we kind of got sucked into it. As soon as we started playing, like, tournaments, like the junior golf tournaments, we started to quickly realize, that it was a definite competition, not just amongst the kids, but kind of amongst the parents, where you almost get caught up in this competition of being, like, the best supportive parent.
Yeah.
And then also, like, the better they play, the more you feel like you have to maintain this level. Like, they started out playing golf at 5 and 6, and by the time they were 9, they were, like, you know, ranked in the state, and trying to keep up that ranking, you have to keep competing and going to these tournaments, and then pretty soon you're traveling all over. And by the time they were like 10 years old, my oldest, we were traveling all over the country, like just trying to keep up their ranking. And it wasn't until I went to my tax guy, like, hey, can I deduct some of this, that we actually, you know, found out how much we spent. And then when she was 10, we had spent almost $20,000 in travel costs. That's just hotels, flights, meals and stuff. That doesn't cover golf clubs, the green fees, range balls, range finders, or any of that.
And so, that's just getting on the course for the tournament.
Right, right. And so, you know, we quickly realized that, you know, we're not rich, so, like, we couldn't keep that up. But it was just really difficult to kind of wrestle with that. Like, I wanted to be a good parent and be supportive, and they wanted to do all this stuff, but we just couldn't keep it up. Like, and so now we've gotten to the point with, like, our second daughter where she, you know, plays a handful of tournaments, and we get to choose maybe like 3 or 4 a year where we might travel and spend the night at a hotel or something. And then we've also switched to, like, using a points credit card where we, you know, have these little tips and tricks where we're trying to get free hotel rooms and stuff, like, with our points and everything, and trying to really stay within budget. But man, it's been like probably one of our biggest expenses. And I've always justified it by saying, oh, maybe, you know, they'll get a college scholarship, so all this money that we're spending is worth it. But, you know, here she is, a senior in high school, and none of the, you know, schools that are giving her offers are where she wants to go. So I almost wish I would have just, you know, put that money in a shoebox under my mattress or something, and we would have had our own, like, you know, scholarship.
So far, that's, you know, still a TBD. But, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So a couple questions. Like, one, would you do it all over again?
Totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, now I'm at a point now where it's like, you know, the money's been spent. I you know, probably wasn't the most financially responsible move, but, man, we had, like, really incredible memories.
Memories, yeah. Right?
And so, like, at the very least, I can feel good about that. Like, we have
time on the road, quality time.
It was a bonding thing for you
guys.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That's worth every penny, dude.
I've
had discussions with parents when this comes up, and that's an incredibly valid point. Like, it comes with a cost, of course, but, like, random tournaments in random towns put you guys in travel mode, and you're in a hotel, and, you know, maybe if it's a team sport, you're having a team meal, and, you know, there's that type of thing. And if there's not, like, golf, but you're still hanging with other parents, you know what I mean? There's a lot of really cool opportunities, whereas some parents may say, well, sort of like us, like, I'd rather go to the Grand Canyon and Arches and Canyon, you know, rather than go to this sport and do that. So I definitely agree with both sides of that leverage. You know, it was interesting to me, and I only coached till I think 10U, and it was getting serious in baseball. And mine was good, but I watched these coaches recruiting as kids would walk off the field in 10U. Like, hey, you ought to, if you want to keep going, you should probably join this summer and join this spring. And I'm imagining that happens in most sports. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying is, like, there's this pressure to maintain your, you know, stature or standing. So, like, we had this national ranking, and the only way you could stay and maintain that ranking is to compete in these tournaments. And every one of those are, like, you know, $50 to $100 green fee that just to participate. But, you know, like, these, as you get better, they're playing these, you know, more regional than state and then national level tournaments. And then you're, you know, and then you're like definitely spending like, you know, $2,000-$4,000 a trip. It's just like really hard to keep up that competition.
Yeah. I like what you said there. I never thought of it to those different angles. All right, Ben. So you're up. So if, first of all, we can kind of go back to your history a little bit. And then you having younger kids that are just kind of getting their sea legs in sports. What type of parent do you see yourself? Are you going to be a year-rounder? Are you going to be a travel ball guy? Are you going to see if they're athletic and then make a decision? Because I know even as a coach, I could tell you the three kids on my team that had an opportunity to advance
you see it
to
early.
High school. You see it so early.
Yeah.
And then there's other parents that just douse it with money thinking that they're going to get there.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So
you're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you, Michael.
Jimmy Coffee.
Thank you, Michael. So I can't believe what my parents did in retrospect. I was on a national club soccer team, and it was very normal to me at the time because I was so self-motivated that they went through these hoops, and we were really lower middle class family. But back then it wasn't crazy expensive, you know, but yeah, I'm talking flying around America for these tournaments because I was pulling them, and that's what I keep coming back to, and that's what I'm going to try to do with my kids is I was pulling them. Like, first of all, I was such a crazy kid and I had so much energy that, and this is where my energy was poured into. They're like, this kid loves soccer and he's pulling us and he is good at it. And I did have a gift in areas of soccer, so they facilitated it. But I mean, my family, they weren't terribly athletics, but you know, like they just saw me going that direction. And
so how did they, because the second article in the Washington Post,
I didn't get to the article.
Sorry. You were on the cusp of what they're talking about is like, and Chris referred to a little bit, how could they afford it if you were lower middle class?
Dude, I don't know.
And then secondly, do you feel like you had an advantage over kids that didn't do what you were doing?
Yes.
Okay.
I had I remember, I'll never forget this single mom and this goalie, Kenny McKnight. Guy was an incredible goalie.
Got great hair too.
Absolutely.
Kenny McKnight.
Fabulous hair. He was the only guy willing to like let it flow over his eyes. Yeah. And like ladies were crazy about Kenny McKnight. And Kenny and his mom slept in a RV, you know, anything in California, like the Western region.
Yeah.
Like they'd like roll up in the parking lot of the hotel and sleep in that. And they like, you know, and I always remembered, you know, like they just didn't have the cash, but she was just letting it all ride on, you know, Kenny's goalie skills, and he was amazing. I don't know what happened to him, but I always remember that where like they just didn't have the money to hang with the program.
You see that in a lot of these docs that are on Netflix about like high school. They're following high school quarterbacks, or they're following a specific team
and
for
the bars
a season.
So high, yeah. So I mean, my experience was, you know, my parents kind of like they never pressed it on me. I pulled them, and I think I want to carry that through to my kids. I can definitely see, you know, gifts in some and not really gifts in the other one. My oldest is, you know, she's 5'10" at 12 years old. And I'm like, she looks like a goddess on the volleyball court, but doesn't really have the skills. So like she loves theater. And so I'm just saying, babe, enjoy volleyball. Let me know if you want to play, even though it's painful for me as an athlete, but if she's not guiding that, I'm not going to push it. But then my middle one, you know, she's got this spit in her eye, and we'll see what she wants to do. And I think I'm really conscious now to just see it's got to be self-motivated. And I think that's really the guiding light for this whole discussion for me is it's got to be self-motivated. Otherwise, you're going to burn out. Don't push it too early. My sister was, real quick, she played varsity. She started on varsity all 4 years of high school basketball. And they went to the state championship 3 years. She got offers from everywhere, didn't want to play college ball. She was burnt out.
Oh, I see.
18.
The stats are on that side, too.
She was burnt out at 18. She didn't even try. She was done. And we were just chomping her ear off. She's like, I hate basketball now.
We could talk about this on another show. I think I wrote an article once about this, but there are stats that say that it's staggering how many kids quit sports at eighth grade and never play in high school because they're so fried.
It's got to be self-motivated.
From going year-round, all that. So, I took a little heat because our oldest wanted to do club volleyball for a minute. And then now it's okay. But, like, at the time, it was a little tougher to make the call. But the funny thing is, which the next article alludes to, is, like, the clubs take priority over the community stuff. And so, like, my kids' volleyball team, I remember in eighth grade, a bunch of the club kids didn't come to the finals of the diocese because they were either tired or had practice for club, and they gave up on the regular team. So, the you know, there's those type of stories, too. But yeah,
I think what really helped me was diversity early on. And, like, I didn't touch a football until I was 14 or 15, freshman in high school. I played soccer, baseball, and basketball like crazy. And then suddenly, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is my love. 15, I was the first time I played football, and that's what took me to college. So I think just playing a lot of different sports when you're young, you don't need to play national, regional, or maybe regional, but, you know, yes, keep the skills up, but don't focus on one sport because you're developing incredible skills for all these other sports. And then I think I put those together in football, and then I wasn't burnt out on football. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't – it's cool. Like, when you get to high school, that's when you're going to have the opportunity to really shine anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I would say to parents, like, let them play a lot of different sports. They're developing body control and all kinds of skills, and then maybe they can choose their sport when they're 15. And
yeah, again, I read a lot of that. Yeah. That's, like, spot on when it comes to stats and and recommendations of parents and what they should do with the kid, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Plus, it does them no good, honestly, like, to be nationally ranked at age 12. Like,
right.
Like, no, you know, scouts are looking for them or anything.
The maintenance of that is insane.
Oh, no, it's too much.
Yeah. All right, Mark, your turn at the dial.
Yeah.
You're kind of on different levels of this stuff.
Well, I, you know, early on, I had a vendor of mine talk about his experiences with his daughter playing club softball, and she was a D1 prospect, and I think she quit her senior year of high school. She had been playing since she, and so he was telling me, you know, look, because at that point I was newly coaching soccer, which I've done for 17 years, and he was like, look, don't push your kid towards anything. And what you said, Ben, is totally true. Let them pull you to what is driving them and what interests them, because nothing's worse than sitting in a car and waiting for your kid and, like, forcing them to do something like this. I mean, when you sign up for it, you got to do it. But our club experience, my son played club volleyball for a season. And with multiple kids going multiple directions, it's a big commitment to have to spend an entire weekend or traveling. My daughter's soccer team this year, we traveled to a tournament, and I don't know that that's something I really want to do. I mean, we had a great time. It was fun hanging out in the hotel and hanging out with other families. But, you know, would rather.
It's also difficult in multiple sibling houses because you have to divide and conquer.
Well, right.
And or so someone has to suffer and go along
exactly.
And not be part of the game.
Exactly. So yeah. I echo the sentiment of have them play whatever sports they want to play, get them accustomed to playing. And that's the thing, too, is, you know, coaching baseball, coaching soccer, you can see those kids that have that push. And so whenever I've coached soccer for longer, I can tell the parents at the end of the season, hey, you know, your kid has a gift. You might want to consider going comp if this is a passion of your kids. It's never a push. It's more of a suggestion because, like, you can see the differences in the players. But I also can see, you know, when I have players hit my soccer field, like, oh, you must play basketball because you're boxing out really well or you're doing this really well. And so, to your point, Ben, having your kids playing multiple sports really just gives you the capabilities from a motion perspective of being able to be better at any sport. You know, all those various motions aid in your ability to master, you know, different movements and things. So I'm not surprised about the dollar part of the article in terms of, you know, when I saw the Castor Valley Soccer Club prices, I was like, well, yeah, that's about what it is. And you know, and I started thinking today about all the money that we spend just, you know, just doing summer league swimming and, you know, baseball's in session right now. And now I'm responsible for hiring you know, I got to pay extra money to hire the umpires.
Well, it's interesting. Like, this is from the Washington Post. provides another yet reminder of the gulf between the haves and the have-nots in youth sports, in which parents are spending between $30 billion and $40 billion annually on their children's sports activities. Costly travel leagues and club programs have surged in popularity in recent years as families pursue high-level competition and college scholarships. While 58% of the children who participate in sports played in community-based programs this fall, 3 of 10 parents said their kids' community program had closed, merged with another organization, or operated with less capacity.
Yeah, totally.
Well, and then your community sports are being filtering in, like AAU basketball kids and kids who are playing club level sports, which is making it harder for the community kids to continue to play, which then pushes the parents who can afford it to send your kid to pitching coaches and hitting coaches and basketball clinics. And that's where this machine is being geared up, is because you want your kid to not look goofy. And I've told my kids, if you don't want to play that sport ever again, that's fine. But just remember, the bar for playing next year is going to be that much greater. So if you're just a mid-level player today, next year, you know, unless something magical happens to you, practice a lot, it's going to be more challenging when you hit that field.
Yeah, so I'll wrap this up with that and then a couple things from state of play. So this is worrying in a next generational kind of way. It definitely mirrors trends nationally, and this wraps everything up, in our society, in which families in the highest income categories have experience and access to sustained experience that peers in the lower end of the income category do not. That only seems to be growing, said Tom Ferry, executive director of the Aspen Institute's Sports and Society Program. When you look at the industry of youth sports, it is an industry. It's a business, and it's business interest first. It's not in the interest of the child first, and so money chases money. So that's the summation of that. And then I'll just wrap up. I thought this was actually pretty cool. It was a State of Play 2022. I'll just give you some bullet points, and then we can move on to happier affairs. You know, it's good to talk about this. I think a lot of parents are on the fence, or they're committed one way or the other, and, you know, if you can shed light either way, you know, with our experience, so be it. All right, here's the bullet points. The number of youth sports parents, 27%, who perceive their child has lost interest in playing sports remained high as a barrier to participate. This is post-pandemic research. Community-based sports programming is returning. Foundations, corporations, and other entities are starting to subsidize local low-cost forms of play, and support from the federal government's American Rescue Plan Act has helped in places, allowing providers to reduce the fees and they charge families, but it's still a shaky foundation. Travel sports programs post-pandemic surged back with a vengeance. Coaches are being asked to do more, with many youth suffering from mental health challenges enhanced by the pandemic. So that's for coaches' notes out there. Parents significantly trust their child's coaches. Again, these are all bullet points with huge things underneath of them, but this is the summation. Odd one. Tennis and pickleball have now emerged as tremendously popular sports. Yeah. And then finally, the average family paid $883 annually in one child's primary sport, down 6% from pre-pandemic. This is nationally, across the board, all that stuff. You want to read more of this stuff, check out Melissa's Substack, which is really good. It's a series called Changing the Game, because she has kids that are in sports, and Melissa has worked in sports as well. The article from the Washington Post is just Google in youth sports, talent helps, but money rules. And then the excellent resource is the AspenProjectPlay.org. All right, coming up next is a little quiz, a little quizzo, a little this or that. We'll get you out of here fast, because we know it's getting late.
It's quiz time! Parrot quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, since this is sort of our sports-centric pod for... it's kind of springy. I think this is topical. Okay. We're getting on the cusp of recording this right in the beginning of March. We'll probably release it in July, but we'll talk about March Madness tonight. I'm going to work a job in Vegas dealing with March Madness, the Pac-12 tournament, and you're going as a spectator
See you there.
In the first round, yeah. Yes. Yes, your UCLA Bruins will be in there.
Please.
All right, so here's a couple questions on March Madness, and don't worry, they are multiple choice. I knew about 50% on guessing alone. Oh. All right, which team won the first NCAA basketball national championship tournament? Was it Oklahoma, Villanova, Ohio State, or Oregon? It took place in 1939.
Oklahoma.
Wow. All are incorrect.
Oh, boo.
The Oregon Webfoots.
What? Wow.
Went 29-5 on the season and beat Ohio State 46-33.
Pre-Ducks.
Pre-Ducks.
But wow. But that Webfoot. Was the same school?
Yeah.
Oregon Webfoots?
Yes.
It's funny.
Okay. All right. Number two. What sportscaster first called the NCAA tournament March Madness? Cool. Was it Greg Gumbel, Jim Nance, Bucky Waters, or Brent Musburger?
It's got to be Bucky. It's someone by the name of
Dick
Bucky.
Dick Vitale, or
I was going to say Dick Vitale.
I was going to say Dick Vitale, but I'm going to go Brent Musburger.
I'm going Bucky. Mm. Ooh, all different answers.
No, we're going Bucky.
Harvey with the half quarter. He is correct.
Wow.
It is Brent Musburger.
How old's he?
March Madness.
Well, what year?
You know what's funny? The first year I worked in football, I was actually starstruck when he walked by me. Mm. I was like, oh my God, that's Brent Musburger walking across the field right now.
Is he like 4'9"?
Yeah. Because, you know, you listen to these guys when you're a kid, and then all of a sudden
Well, you did.
Yeah, I did. The term March Madness was first used in reference to basketball by Henry V. Porter, but it didn't become associated with the NCAA until Brent Musburger used it during coverage of the 82 tournament.
82.
Nice pull.
What is the traditional March Madness anthem? Is it The Final Countdown by Europe?
No.
Don't Stop Believing by Journey?
No.
We Are the Champions by Queen?
No.
For One Shining Moment?
It's the fourth one. Right.
I have no idea. I don't watch
this. Is really sad. People are in their cars eye rolling right now.
It's not weird.
It's the final montage.
I was gonna go
No, it's One Shining Moment. And they recap the whole tournament.
I'm not gonna pretend to know that one.
I think it should be.
You call yourself basketball fans.
No, I don't watch March Madness.
Oh my gosh.
I just see if KU's winning, that's it.
Sad. Mm. Just because San Luis Obispo.
We made it Nabisco. Once. San Luis Obispo made it to the third round like 10 years
ago.
What player is the NCAA tournament's all-time leading scorer? Oscar Robertson, Elvin Hayes, Christian Laettner, or Danny Manning?
Oh, my gosh. Danny Manning. I knew it. I knew that before you said it. Is it Danny Manning? Because he's KU, and that's the only team I care about.
That is absolutely incorrect.
Ah, jeez. I
thought it was going to be Lou Alcindor or something.
Lou Alcindor.
But
who is it?
Choice.
Christian Laettner. Best known for a shot against Kentucky. Wow.
People Dream did not team. Like Laettner.
Yeah. Blue Devils won Duke. It all in 91.
Yeah. Ooh, Laettner.
Yeah. What are the odds in filling out a perfect March Madness bracket? Is 1 in 9.2 quintillion, 9.2 trillion, 9.2 billion, or 1 in 9.2 gazillion?
Billion.
I'm going trillion.
I'm going billion.
Oh, billion.
Come on. Those numbers are astronomical.
9.2 quintillion.
No way.
To put that in context, you're more likely to win the lottery, get struck by lightning, and have a boa constrictor emerge through the pipes of your toilet all in the same day.
That's funny.
Could happen.
All right. I watched this a few years ago. Incredible. Who was the first number 16 seed to ever upset a number one seed? Was it Villanova, Richmond, Princeton, or University of Maryland, Baltimore County?
Villanova in the 90s.
Princeton Tiger.
Villanova in the 90s. Right, I remember the emergence.
Richmond. I'm just going to mix it up.
Villanova's never been a 16 seed.
I don't know any Gonzaga. Of this. I'm just trying to sell it.
Kentucky.
The UMBC Retrievers.
Where are they from?
They beat Virginia. Mm.
We're not doing so hot.
In '40s? In the '40s?
Or let's pick it up here.
Because this is not interesting.
It's not interesting. You know how many people watch this?
I know.
I'm
playing my role, MK, moving on.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm just kidding. This is very
number seven. What team won both their semifinal and final champion? People are playing this in their car right now, challenging each other. What team won both of their semifinal and championship games in triple overtime? Take the title in 1957. North Carolina, Indiana, UCLA, or Kentucky? Triple overtimes back to back.
See, this is like
Kentucky.
There's no.
The answer is North Carolina.
Dang it, it's
was that a Jordan era thing?
No.
No 57, not 50. Man.
Oh, you come said 57? Yeah. I'm not listening. Sorry.
It's more interesting.
That's why I get through these, because Ben's annoying.
I'm just guessing.
Number eight. Who was the youngest coach to win March Madness? How old was he? 41, 31, 36, or 26?
What? Coach K. That was fast. What?
36.
36.
31.
Wow.
When the Indiana Hoosiers won an NCAA title in 1940, their coach, Emmett Branch McCracken, wasn't that far out of college himself. He would lead his team to another title 13 years later in 1953. Who won March Madness as both a player and a coach?
Hold on.
Bob Knight, Dean Smith, Joe B. Hall, or all of them?
Ooh, I like
all of them.
Yeah, all of them.
I like Joe B. Hall.
I like Bob Knight.
It's a cool name. Good basketball
name. Only three men can claim champion status as both player and coach.
Mm, all three.
Joe B. Hall registered both achievements with Kentucky, Bob Knight with Ohio State and Indiana, and Dean Smith on the court with Kansas and subsequently on the sidelines with North Carolina. Final question in Ben's somewhat boring response, NCAA, March Madness, biggest month of the year in basketball poll. What player sank the game-winning shot that gave Dean Smith his first NCAA title as a head coach? Was it Sam Perkins, Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, or James Worthy?
Number one.
Sam Perkins? I don't think so.
James Worthy.
You just said Dean Smith.
Oh, UNC?
NBA legend Michael Jordan said multiple times during his career that before he would take game-winning shots with the Bulls, he would sometimes think back to his shot in 1982 that propelled North Carolina past Georgetown.
As a freshman. Oh.
And that's your March Madness quiz. Coming up next, this or that. Guess what the topic is?
Sports.
Basketball.
Nice.
Love that. Suckers. All right, this is Basketball Would You Rathers. We're going to go through these fast because Chris is slowly sleeping as we are approaching the midnight hour here on the West Coast, 3 a.m. for you on the East Coast. Would you rather airball a three-pointer or miss a layup?
Airball a three-pointer.
Absolutely.
Mark, a three-pointer is when you shoot from behind.
I'm aware of that. I'm wondering which is more embarrassing.
Missing a
probably
layup.
Missing a layup is more embarrassing. I got the three.
But missing a layup doesn't get you a cheer from the crowd. If you miss an airball.
Yeah, who wants an airball chant? Anyway.
I missed two.
Would you rather be loyal to a team as a fan or switch teams for wins?
Loyal as a team.
I'm loyal.
Yep. Yeah.
I know a lot of bandwagon jumpers. They infuriate me.
I think it's fine.
I think it's okay. I don't think it's fine.
Well, I mean, think about it. It gets to the end. The organization loves it, the energy. And I think bandwagoning is nice.
I always root for the underdog if those situations occur. Mm-hmm. But I don't just jump on a team to jump on.
Well, we're all sports fans, but I like the concept of bandwagoning because, you know, the whole city starts to get involved. Toronto Raptors, perfect example. All my stupid hipster friends, whom I love, like when they were, you know, like a few years ago, that was very funny to watch all them start to care about basketball.
You have friends in Toronto? I only know one person from Toronto.
T-Dot.
I spent a lot of time there. I like it. But yeah, with all music friends and art friends, and they're just like, oh, basketball, huh?
Hey?
Anyway.
Is that how they
did it? What's this all about? Hey?
Have a shoe named after you, have an award named after you.
Oh, shoe.
Shoe.
Probably shoe. I think you're getting the residuals.
So
too.
Cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. Shoe. Oh, look at you.
Like, I got the new MKs.
Yeah, the new MKs. That sounds good.
Yeah, not the MK award. No one cares about that.
You'd be monetizing, bro.
Would you rather be tall but slow or short and fast?
Tall but slow.
Yeah.
Oh, so Ben's sticking to what he is.
Oh, what's up?
So's Mark. Here's one for me. Would you rather be the greatest player of all time or be the greatest mascot of all time?
Are you kidding me?
Not even a player.
I know.
You're the only one.
Is that your question?
No, it's actually in here. This is straight from Etsy, by the way. This is legit.
Well, let's think.
player.
I mean, having been in mascot costumes most of my adult life, I would say player. There are many great mascots. Would you only be able to dunk in a game, or would you like to only be able to shoot three-pointers in a game?
Oh, inside game, baby.
Dunk in a game. Dunk, come on.
Did you see Kuminga the other night?
Yeah,
so he was good.
That kid was incredible. Those dunks were insane. Amazing.
And kids are freak, dunk too. Yeah.
All right, would you rather make a game-winning shot or a game-winning block?
Block.
Ooh, I'm so going fun. Shots.
Come I'm on, going shot.
I like, yeah, I'm going
shots. Shot gets you on SportsCenter.
The block gets you on SportsCenter. Are you kidding me? Have you ever blocked anybody in your life?
I've never.
Yeah.
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 No,
okay,
not
well,
me.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
I did in Carline yesterday morning. Would you rather be able to choose your team jersey color? Oh, these are getting silly. Or choose your team jersey number?
Number.
Number.
That's a weird one.
Yeah. These are getting silly. All right, watch an NCAA. I know that this is going. Watch an NCAA game or watch an NBA game.
NBA. Although college ball is pretty fun, you know. I do.
The
like
best
it.
Thing about
Heck
college
yeah,
ball
it's
is
still yeah. pure, except for the one
exactly.
and done.
Exactly. The kids and football even more so. They're the kids got so much online. They're trying harder. There's a different spirit to college ball for sure.
All right, I'm going to twist this question around because it's come up recently, and then we'll end this segment. Goat.
Hmm.
Jordan or James?
Come on, Jordan. Not even. Come on.
Yeah, I got to go Jordan.
Get out of here.
I don't think it's.
Of course it's Jordan, dude. Look at the championships.
I know. I give Sports Talk Radio something to talk about, but when you really put up the.
Dude, there's
the
no
numbers,
contest.
The three-peats, the chips, the MVP.
Jordan's like, won six, I think, and LeBron's lost six or something like that. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Listen, LeBron's right there. I just don't think the accolades match in the span of time, especially during a
Steph
physical.
Steph Curry ruined his life, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and then that was yeah, anyway, this is meant for Sports Talk Radio, but we're all in agreement. It's MJ. All right, coming up next, things that make us smile, and then we're closing out at a world record time for lateness.
It's pretty late.
It's pretty late.
You're a little nervous over there. Let it wash over you.
All right. We're going to be moving on in our evenings, but we want to thank you all for hanging in there with us. We're having a lot of fun on the gram lately, and we got some really good response. And we're going to fire up the interviews once again. I'm getting a lot interview requests, like people promoting stuff. But I like chasing down our own stuff, and I've got a couple people in mind. So, yeah, I took a straw poll from five or six listeners, and I was just asked them different things about the show. And they did say that they liked the change-up of interviews every once in a while. Not because it's me, because they like to hear from the smart person and me ask the questions. All right, so happiness. Things made me happy today almost. I overheard my kids running lines. They're both in the show Annie, and they're both younger, and I could hear them running lines in the room. Like, and then my one kid's doing one part and the other, and it was really cute, and they were working together without any intervention by me saying, you guys should do this because you need to learn your... So that was cute. Our oldest is becoming a mogul. Her cat sitting is taking off. She's becoming a cat sitting mogul on our street.
Nice.
And it's kind of fun to watch her get the bread. I'm not going to lie.
That's funny.
Yeah. So she was sitting there with a wad of bills tonight because the couple was gone for 10 days, I think. I'm like, whoa, look at you. So that was kind of exciting. And then I'm going to do a show this weekend for Nickelodeon, and my family's going to join me down in Los Angeles. They're not going to go to the show, but they're going to join me in Los Angeles.
Oh,
so that all makes me smile. How
Where
about
are you
guys
staying? Which area?
The show is at the LA Live Microsoft Theater, so we're probably staying downtown in the new downtownish
downtown's
area.
Fun now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know LA pretty well, so it'll be fun. Chris?
I don't know. Mine's kind of a double-edged sword. Like I was talking about it before the show kicked off, but like, I am a little bit happy that we're starting to go back to the office, like, you know, full time.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it is kind of a dread, but the other half is kind of like interesting to see people again and kind of get into that groove and like, you know, see people in the kitchen and hang out and have those conversations. So seeing grown-ups during the day in person has been kind of nice.
And going somewhere.
Totally. Yeah. And then yeah, my oldest daughter's starting to drive around a lot more now, and taking my youngest to school and taking her to, like, you know, running errands, and so it's been kind of like a, you know, like a little bit of a, I don't know, get you right here.
You nervous or you okay?
It's okay. We live in a 25 mile an hour speed limit city, so I feel like
that's
she's
right.
Pretty,
you guys are over there.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's more like 30, but it's nice that you have a Duber.
Yeah.
Daughter Uber.
Yeah, Uber. If you go about a quarter mile up the street onto the interstate, it's I think the speed limit's about 130.
Dude.
So I'm a little more nervous about mine driving eventually. Ben?
Yeah, speaking of our little city, I enjoy today. I saw some new little nooks in my city. So, like, finding out, we've been there like 14 years, but still, like, I was somewhere just before I got here and I was like, are we in Alameda? Where am I? It was just this weird house in the back. Like, this guy had a hunting lodge in his backyard in Alameda and he was barbecuing. And I was like, where am I? And so I would say, like, finding out new things about your city. Keep exploring, even if you feel like you know it.
There's
so many bubbles in every city. It's always fun to pop a new one.
I do that a lot with Oakland.
Yeah,
I keep finding new stuff that I never knew existed. Yeah,
the layers of every city are deep, so keep digging. And the other thing is, I'm excited tomorrow. We're driving up to the mountains, and I know everybody can't relate to this, but the moment when you're driving and it's like, when's it going to start snowing? And then all of a sudden this family's waiting. And if it's raining, in that moment that the rain turns to snow, it's just the best.
And you know Dodge Ridge is closed.
What are you talking about?
And Yosemite is closed.
Yeah.
And most roads up there are closed. So just do us a favor.
I'll do a little check.
A little traffic-y checky.
I'll do a traffic-y checky tomorrow. And we might be a snow play moment, but we're going to Dodge Ridge.
In the Westphalia going to make their journey?
Definitely not going up in an 84 Westie.
No.
We're in the Yukon. Don't worry. But, okay, thanks for that tip.
Yeah.
You just ruined my weekend, but okay.
Things that make him frown.
Things that make me sad.
Might want to check. You
things
might not
that
get,
makes Ben really sad.
Might not get past Twain Hart. But go ahead, that, Mark.
Oh, shoot.
I had a great week last week. My wife, my daughter actually had President's Week off as weird, like a snow week. So
yeah.
We went into the city and had lunch with my wife and went bowling and had lunches together and just got to hang out. So it's kind of, it's fun to have just one kid solo during the week and be able to do just things together that you can't do when you have other kids running around the house. So, that makes me smile. Getting a good massage makes me smile. I had a good massage recently, and that's always like a nice self-care moment.
TMI.
My wife booked it for me, and she's just like, here, pamper yourself. So love her for that. That's fun. Fresh squeezed orange juice. I've had some recently, Ben, cheater. And I have to concur with your fresh squeezed orange juice.
Anything better? You know, you guys...
It's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
You saw my juices. I'm way up on you.
Oh
guys.
Yeah, juices to the fingertips.
Juices.
Something about fresh squeezed orange juice makes it to your fingertips.
Yeah.
You feel it.
It's amazing. And then of course baseball and baseball season is starting and I'm excited about baseball, and of course, you know, soccer always makes me smile. So
I watched Moneyball the other day. I thought about you guys.
It's a good one.
Ace.
So good.
Becoming my movie that if it's on, I'll join it at any point and sit for a half hour.
Yeah.
It's becoming that movie for me. A Few Good Men right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my wife and I woke up to the surprise Saturday. It was just a cozy moment. Like, we were up before the Rugrats, and 16 Candles was on.
Oh, ooh, nice.
And she was like, oh, let's get coffee. And it was just perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, of course, I'm appreciative of you guys coming over on this cold, I think it's like 60, California nights. <Jesus. laughs> Yeah, listeners, if you could see us, we're all under blankets. We have like North Faces on, and nobody's even breathing steam because that's what we are. But we appreciate you all listening and keep coming in, hanging out, leaving comments, all that good stuff. We are incredibly grateful. We'll be back again and hopefully in a couple weeks, and we'll talk some more March Madness because Ben wants to have a whole show on it now. All right, we are the Dad Timeout Show, and we are out of here.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out House. And we're out of here.